Welcome to the Sportscast, August 16th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, and also our X account, The Sportscast One, and Instagram, The Sportscast One. England advances to the FIFA Women's World Cup final. They will face Spain. Join us all the way up north, Hal Phillips. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Good afternoon, Santi. How are you?
Pretty good. A lot going on. I'm glad we rescheduled for today because a lot going on with the World Cup. On Monday, I got my car all maintained and. How you been?
I've been good. I've been busy working, but a lot of family stuff going on now. I was headed out to Montana next week, and my wife and daughter drove out yesterday morning. My daughter's moving out there. So, yeah, big doings in the household.
A lot going on. Trying to close out this summer with a bang in Montana. You can't beat it. So this morning, the Lionesses, the advance to the final after defeating Australia, the host country, 3-1, goals by Toon, Hemp, and Russo, and only one goal from Australia, Kerr. England has been in the spotlight these past couple years, but they're going at it this year as well.
I think they're favored to win that final against Spain, which is still underhanded. If we want to get into why, we can, but they don't have their full squad there for a variety of reasons, but they've played very well. I thought the match this morning was really a great advertisement for soccer in general and women's soccer in particular. You know, that game, I thought England deserved to win. They outshot them. They outpossessed them. They looked bigger, stronger, and faster, and maybe even more skilled. But, man, Australia could have tied that game. They were unlucky not to have tied it. They had their best player on two chances in the last 10 minutes to tie that game, and then they gave up one to death when they were stretched. The best team doesn't always win in soccer, and I think that's one of its great international appeals and one of the problems that American sport fans, you know, have with the game. Americans sort of think that the better team should win, and I know that the NBA is set up to make that happen. It's playoff situation and the home games and, you know, home field advantage, home court advantage is so important. But man, in soccer, any team can beat any other on the day. And it nearly happened here at home. It would have been a really joyous day in Australia, as it was, man. There was a lot of heartbroken people in that stadium.
Yeah, a lot of heartbroken people, fans from Australia. Saw some crying, of course. You got to put the camera. But here's what happened this morning. England jumped on the board first with a goal by Ella Toon late in the first half, which held up until Sam Kerr broke through to not the score in the 63rd minute of play. It was pretty close till then. Unfortunately for the Matildas, it was not to be, though, as England scored the go-ahead goal just 8 minutes later as Lauren Hemp drove a shot into the back of the net for a 2-1 lead. The Lionesses would add one more in the waning stages of the match to give them a 3-1 margin. And it was pretty much all there. Ball possession, Australia had 42, England had 58. Total shots, Australia 12, England 15. You brought about England. Why is the squad so unique from the past?
Well, they're unique in the history of British women's football because they, better than almost any team in this tournament, shows how far European soccer has come. 10 years ago, England had a national team, but no one cared about it. There was no legitimate, you know, Super League to serve those players in England. It may have existed, but the big clubs like Man City and Chelsea and Arsenal, they paid token attention and money and resources to women's football. That's changed. And now England is turning out just gobs of good players. And because they have an academy system at all these clubs, and that's what European clubs do best. They find talent and they train that talent up. So I think that's the big change in England's game. But we see the same thing in Holland. We see the same thing in Spain, where if they had their entire squad here, I think they'd have cruised through this tournament and be favored to win this game. As it is, I think England will win, although it could be a very good match because Spain has played very, very well.
Yeah, very well, which we'll get to Spain, right? Before I move on to the Spain and Sweden match, Australia, if they would have went to the final, they would have been the first time a host goes into the final since 1999, where the U.S. made it. No, actually, 1999.
Is that right?
No, the U.S. went in 95, I believe. Yeah. So
The U.S. won in 99, and they did host, and that was the last time
a host country
made the final. That's amazing. I guess Canada hosted in 2015, and they didn't make the final. And France hosted in 2019, they didn't make the final. So, yeah, I think that that follows.
Let's go into the Spain versus Sweden match. It was closer than the England one. It was 2-1. Spain, for the most part, I mean, for this match was very cagey, with both sides struggling to create much of a note. Though Sweden did force call into a couple of good saves. Mm-hmm. The match came to life in the 81st minute, as Perlelo came off the bench and scored with Spain's first shot on target. 81st minute, squeezing it under pressure. Sweden pulled themselves level in the 88th minute. So all happened in the 80th minute window, when Blomqvist thumped a header, but 93 seconds later, Swedish hearts were broken as Carmona, I saw that goal, rifled in the winner off the bottom of the crossbar. Very close match. Spain won 2-1. First time, I believe, going Spain, all the way.
Yeah, the goal scorer, the winning goal scorer in this game, she also scored the winner against Holland in extra time. To win that match. They've won two very, this was a very close game. And it was a very similar game, I thought, to the England and Australia match, in that it was pretty darn even until the late stages of the game. You know, England took a lead the second semifinal. But both times those leads went away, and the Sweden came back and tied this game, you know, in the 88th minute. And Australia almost came back and tied twice. So the second half of these games was really good. And there's a lot of fight in these teams. You know, I thought Spain was clearly the better team here. They deserved the win. Sweden, I think if you wanted to look in a sort of broad stroke way, Sweden and Australia play a very direct style of soccer, a very American style, if we're going to pin it on one country. Spain might be the most technically gifted team in this tournament, and England is also very, very technically sound. Does not play kick and run, does not play direct, they work it up and out. So I think if we're looking at trends, we're looking at a more technical brand of soccer taking over the top flights of this game, and frankly the United States has some catching up to do, because that's not the kind of team they brought to Australia this year.
The same team that beat the U.S. lose against Spain. The final, actually, before we get into that, ball stats, ball possession, Spain 63, Sweden 37, total shots from Spain 13, Sweden to 6. Obviously, we see both parallels where the team that has the most possession and most shots tend to win the match. Let's go into the finale for this weekend. England has a better matchup versus Spain. They won 4-2 against Spain. This is new for both. Well, not for both, because Spain is new. England has been in this scenario before, but you say England has the upper hand. Tell us why.
I think that they're bigger, stronger, faster, and I think they have more stability in the back of their starting lineup. Their left back, Reese, who got red carded in the, I guess, the round of 16 match, she will return to the starting lineup for the finals. That's a huge boost for them. That's Mason Reese's sister. He plays for Chelsea. Let me just back up, though, and say that Spain is an amazing story. In 2019, when I watched the Women's World Cup, I looked at this Spanish team, and they were insanely impressive and very, very young. And I said publicly at the time, I'm like, put money on Spain to win the next World Cup. They're going to be unstoppable when these very young women mature as players. Well, in the interim, Spain has had a massive issue with its federation. They have a gentleman named George Vildes, V-I-L-D-E-S. And he alienated a massive amount of people in the program, to the point where I think 8 or 9 roster players, 4 or 5 starters, chose not to play for the national team. And that was it wasn't just the coach, it was the federation that backed the coach when the players went and complained. Overly strict sort of treatment, not being treated like professionals, bed checks, sort of, you know, boarding school type discipline stuff that they objected to. And he basically got rid of those people, or that, you know, didn't piss and moan when they decided not to play. And now here they are in the final. I listened to a very interesting podcast. I guess it was the Guardian Women's Football, you know, Women's World Cup podcast. And boy, it really annoyed a lot of the female pundits that Spain has done so well under this coach that so many Spanish players do not like. So there's 2 ways to look at that. It's pretty impressive that they have got, you know, to the final with this undermanned team, this underpersoned team, but also a real slap in the face to some female observers who feel like this guy should have been gotten rid of. Interesting situation. I'll be interested to see how Fox actually talks about it, if at all, in the build up to this game.
Yep. Spain versus England this weekend. I checked. It was 4 a.m. about, and now I'm seeing the FOT mob at 6 a.m. So either way, it's going to be an early morning. It's not going to be easy 8 a.m. type of game. But I'll definitely be watching. I'm with you, Hal. I think England has the upper hand. I'm going to choose them to win 2-1. You can save your predictions towards the end of the show, because that's where we're going to talk about it a little bit more in the predictions. But there you have it. Good World Cup. I like it so far. I know that the whole time zone has been a little bit of a challenge, but it is what it is. Last night, Messi, Inter Miami might have had the easiest game in the League's Cup. They beat Philadelphia 4-1. I'm not sure. Like, those goals were pretty amazing by Messi. He shot one from 30 yards out. How? Like, I mean, I don't remember like if he did that for Barcelona or not. But interesting quote from Tata Martino this week. How he says he sees Leo pretty happy, pretty positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really showing on the field. I've never seen this in a while. PSG, he was not happy, I can tell. And at Barcelona, maybe early days and maybe throughout, but in Inter Miami, he's in the new guy. Things are functioning, and now they're in the finale versus Nashville. But what were your thoughts over the match?
On the match itself, I thought Philadelphia just came out poorly, and things devolved very, very quickly. First of all, they came out and played a very defensive setup against Inter Miami. They had 1 striker. They had another one who was withdrawn behind him, but they were essentially playing a 4-5-1. And I just don't know why you think that's ever going to work against a team that has such talent in the middle of the field with Busquets and such attacking talent with Martinez and Messi and Taylor. It's also this Kremeski guy, this young guy, number 30, another player. I just don't know how you can sit back and let them come at you that way. I think the only way to play this Miami team is to go at them and make them defend you. And they didn't seem interested in doing that at all. Even when they went down 2-0 very early in this game, I think 20 minutes in, it was 2-0. They didn't change the lineup at all. And it ended up giving, you know, Miami a chance to score a 3rd goal before halftime. And then the match is over. Although Philadelphia did get a goal after halftime and sort of made a game of it for a while. So not a tactically astute game, I thought, from Jim Curtin, the coach of Philadelphia. But I think more practically and small bore is that the first 2 goals in this game should should not have even been scored. Andre Blake is the keeper for the Union. He's a good keeper. He's a world-class keeper. He's the number one out of Jamaica and has been, I think, goalkeeper of the year in MLS several times. He's a good keeper, but he had a terrible start to this game. Twice he was sort of caught out of his goal on a counter, and he had to back his, you back up and back up into the goal if you're not going to come out and play it. And twice he did that, but he backed into a space that wasn't anywhere near the center of the goal. Martinez's first goal, if you look where, Blake was way over to the right, he didn't know where he was. This is like high school type goalkeeping mistake. And then against Messi on the second goal, it was 35 yards away. He just wasn't anywhere near the middle of the goal. I mean, that ball was not struck that hard and still skittered in. Someone's like, oh, his reaction was slow. It wasn't slow. He was way too far over to the right. And I think they talked about it at halftime, but they didn't mention it during the game. But I mean, I saw it. It was pretty obvious. You take those goals away, this is a very different game, and maybe Philadelphia grows into it more. But I think they outshot Miami 16-5. Did I see that?
Yes, 16-5. Yep, according to the stats. Yeah,
that's an astonishing stat for a game you lose 4-1. So they had chances, they couldn't convert them, but they were behind from the get-go because Andre Blake would be the first one to tell you there's no way the second goal should have gone in. And I think he'd probably say the thing about the first goal. But goals change games, and this game was over early.
Yeah, Jim Curtin said that first goal in the third minute changed the plans. They were not able to come back and just get back into the rhythm. Alejandro Bedoya, former U.S. men's national team, scored in the second half. So he had a good goal right there. High rating in the FOT mob. As Hal said, the stats doesn't really, explain it well, but total shots 5-16 Inter, and then big chances 2 by Inter, 3 by Philadelphia. Ball possession Inter Miami had, it was pretty much 50-50 if you look at 53.
It was a good match. If those two goals don't happen in the first 20 minutes, it's just a completely different match. And I really thought, and a lot of people thought, that this would be Messi's biggest test. The Union are a good side. They're confident. They're playing at home. But you give up a goal that early, it changes things. But it's the second goal, I'll disagree with Coach Curtin. The first goal, shit happens. The second goal should never have gone in, and it just took the air out of the entire stadium and his team. And I'm sure Blake will cop to it if anyone asked him. It should have been stopped, but these things happen. It's a shame because that could have been a really fun match.
Inter Miami will face Nashville SC after they beat Liga MX Club Monterrey 2-0. They will play in the final Saturday night in Nashville. Do you think that match will be closer than these other, from the Philadelphia Union blowout?
I do. I really am impressed with Nashville the more I see them, and I am seeing them more and more, just it so happens in this League's Cup. Can we talk a little bit about the League's Cup, writ large?
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts?
This is what makes this event so interesting. I like MLS. I do my best to follow MLS. But when the Union plays Nashville in a regular season game, I don't know how well Philadelphia or Nashville comes off as a result of that game. That's what the League's Cup does. It gives us a measuring stick. We know that a Liga MX is a legitimate league, probably better than our league at this point, although the results here would argue against that. Liga MX is maybe a little top heavy. Their good teams are better than our good teams, but their middle and bottom teams are not as good as ours. Who knows? But now we have more of an idea of where MLS stands in comparison to, are the best league on the North American continent. And I think it's been fascinating to watch it. Unfortunately, for Apple TV, the final does not feature the Mexico, the Liga MX versus MLS final that I think everyone would have wanted. Monterrey is a classy side. And I'm sure they're ruining the decision. Or I should say Liga MX is ruining the decision to agree to this format, i.e. every game the Mexican teams played was on the road. And that's going to take not just a physical toll, but it's harder to play on the road. I mean, there's a home field advantage in soccer, no doubt. So I think it was a bit of a money grab. I think they thought they'd all make more money if they could televise these games from the United States. And next year, I hope they go to a more equitable situation where games are played on Mexican soil as well. Half the game should be played there.
I agree. And then, you know, that'd be interesting.
Go ahead.
Yes, I do agree. Like, maybe some of the home games should be in Mexico.
Well, why not? Why not half of the home games? Why they're all in the United States? I can't think of another reason other than we'll make more money if we play all these games in MLS stadiums. But maybe there's something I'm missing. But it doesn't matter now that they agreed to it. And I think we can all agree that MLS has really shown itself to be full of good teams. I mean, Miami is a one-off. They just loaded up with three ex-Barcelona players, and they would appear to be the class of this tournament. But to get back to your question in a very roundabout way, Nashville is a very good side. I've watched them a lot. Mukhtar is a great attacking player. He scored a great goal last night that was taken away, but pulls the strings in a very, very confident and classy way. They've added a lot of pieces there that are really interesting. You know that Shaq Moore is one of their outside backs, you know, yeah. US MNT player. I didn't realize he had joined them. They're solid up and down the line. And they actually won this game with their backup keeper last night, who was a guy that until this game had just been a fellow who came in to stop penalties. He's a specialist and had won them a couple shootouts. Well, he won them the game last night with a couple of brilliant saves. Monterey had a chance to level this game several times before a late goal won it for Nashville. But I'm impressed with Nashville, and I'm impressed with their stadium, which was full last night. I was just wondering with my buddy Seamus Malin. I was talking to him on the phone before we got on the line here, Santi, and neither of us knew where the final would be held. Well, I'm glad that you told me. In Nashville will bring a big crowd, and it will level the playing field a little bit for Nashville because they don't have three former Barcelona guys on their team. And it should be a very interesting match. I will be watching.
Yeah, it should be a great match. Probably hold out once they're going to open up the tickets. Average price last night, Hal, was $353 for a ticket in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah, imagine what's going to be up in Nashville. So.
That's a bigger stadium, number one. But yeah, I think it's going to be crazy. And again, congratulations to Nashville. They were deserved winners against Monterey, who looked a little tired. And again, playing, I think they're how many games have all these teams played now? Six, six one, road two, games three, in a row.
Yep. Three, four, five, including the final. So,
okay. Well, no, wait, they're in groups of three. I guess they played two games.
Oh, that's right. There was a group stage. I'm looking at the bracket.
Group stage. So, yeah, I mean, all these games are played in the United States. That's, you know, did they go home to Mexico, go home to Monterrey in between them all? I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't know. But the point is, it's a lot to ask, and they look tired to me. They gave it a go. They didn't lay down, but Nashville beat them deservedly. But I think everyone, including Don Garber, MLS, you know, commissioner, would love to have seen Monterrey in this final.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? You get the U.S. versus Mexico flavor to the final. You get a more legitimate, quote unquote, a competitor for Messi and company. But also, let's just say for the sake of argument, the game was held in Nashville regardless. Every Monterrey fan within a 500-mile radius is going to be at that game. And it would have been an insane spectacle. And we're not going to get the benefit of that because no one travels like Mexican, like soccer fans, and they would have showed up. And it's a shame that we don't have them there. So I will lament that, but only that, because I think it's been a great event and I can't wait to see the final.
And I was pulling for Monterrey because the final would have been here in Miami. So
I guess it probably would it, but were they talking about maybe playing it at Joe Robbie Stadium or something?
I doubt it. I really doubt it. They'll probably play it at a DVR Pink Stadium because they said no games will be at the Miami Dolphins Stadium this year. So, but who knows?
Who knows? Is right.
Happened.
So the DVR Pink Stadium, that's in North Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Exactly. Precisely. Yeah.
But that's up there. And yep. that's a shame. Like, I mean, I bet they could get 50,000 people to that game pretty easily.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, easily. And anyways, let's shift back to Europe. Harry Kane's officially a Bayern Munich player. He said he wants to push his boundaries. He wants to win trophies and championships. He was grateful to Tottenham, had good things to say. How is a Spurs fan? He lost the Super Cup, the first, the Community Shield for Germany, with no trophy yet. But your thoughts over this big move of 4-year contract with Bayern?
Well, it is a big move. I love Harry Kane. He served Spurs very well. I wish him all success in Germany. I really don't have any kind of grudge to carry around about this. He stayed maybe a year or two longer than I thought he would. And now he's almost 30 years old. He is 30 years old. So, you know, good luck to him. I think that he'll help Bayern. He's probably as able a scorer as Lewandowski was when he was there, and not quite as quick, but I think a better withdrawn player who can play any system you want. I think he'll be fine. And I'm glad as a Spurs fan that they got 110 million euros to spend on new players, because we're going to need them. Although I think Spurs are going to be fine this year. I think we're going to find out quite quickly. Don't they host Manchester United tomorrow, or is it today?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Let me double check on the Google Bayern Munich schedule.
No. Man U and Tottenham. I believe Tottenham hosts
yes.
Man U. And that yep, may be this weekend. I'm not sure. But
this weekend. Man United at Tottenham, which we'll get your prediction a little bit later in the show.
Oh, okay.
Spoil it then. Let's segue to Tottenham. Mm-hmm. They tied 2-2 against Brentford. Goals by Romero and Royale. Brentford was up 2-1, I believe. Goes by M. Bueno and Wissa, but your thoughts over the first match of the season?
Look, I think they were fine. It's just a different playing field for, you know, Spurs this year, and their brand new coach, the Australian with the very Greek name that I'm not going to be able to pronounce correctly, so I'm not even going to try. I like the way the team is set up now. They have a lot of weapons going forward, and they still have those weapons. Richarlison is not quite the player that Kane was, but Son is still there. Madison, I think, is a great addition. I love Kulusevski. And Oliver Skip keeps scoring goals. They're playing Bissouma, which I think is a really smart move. He's a good player. He just needed time. The Danish fellow that started in that defensive midfield role is either hurt or not in this new coach's plans in the same way. Look, they're a good side. They brought in help in the midfield as well. And in the back line, this Van de Ven guy is supposed to be a solid, solid center back. They're going to be fine. I think they still have a chance to make the top four. We'll just have to see. But, you know, it's an arms race in the EPL. I have to laugh when they talked about the Super League, the breakaway six clubs that were trying to, you know, subvert the system and go off on their own. You know, Tottenham was one of those six. And at the time I was like, really, are we really one of the six top teams, you know, top clubs in the EPL money-wise, prestige-wise? I don't know. It's close, I guess, but with Harry Kane gone and us rebuilding, it sure doesn't look like we are one today.
Yeah. Tottenham has a lot to fill the hole with Harry Kane, big hole to fill. You mentioned Richarlison. You know, I mean, there has to be a lot of collaboration, obviously. Son and Richarlison have to fill that hole, but do you think they'll be capable enough to, you know, get those, like what, like Kane gets, got you guys 20 goals per season or something like that?
I don't know how you replace all those goals, but they can win games without him. And Postecoglou, there we go, Ange. I love his name right there. I like the way they're setting up. They're playing a possession game. They're not, you know, counterattacking more. They want the ball at their feet. Look at that. 70% ball possession against Brentford. That's good to see.
Notice that on Sunday.
They outshot them, but didn't generate the chances they like. I mean, Richarlison, I think, is just a feast or famine type striker, and to rely on him would be foolish, but they don't have to. All those guys who are behind him, Kulusevski, Madison, and Son, very capable. And I think there are some other young guys that they have off the bench that have some real promise. I have a theory, my working theory of the EPL this year, Santi, not that you asked, is that Man City runs away with this league because I see that the rest of the teams in the top half of this table as being pretty comparable. Chelsea, we have no idea what they're going to be like. Arsenal, presumably got better, and they're the one team that I think could challenge City and take points off them, but only if they don't drop points to Tottenham and Brentford and Chelsea and Villa and Liverpool. So I think all of those teams are going to beat up on each other, and the result will be Man City won't be beat up in the same way, and they'll cruise to an easy victory. I think they're the class of this league, and no one can coach up a side like Pep Guardiola can. We've seen that here. We've seen it in Germany. We've seen it in Spain. So I thought Arsenal overachieved to do what it did last year. So that's my take. But the selfish take or aspect of that take is that Tottenham will be fine. I think Tottenham can get points off of any team in this league except Man City. And actually, they've actually played Man City better than any team in the Premier League the last few years. So we'll see if that continues. Look, I don't need a team to win to entertain me and fulfill my fandom. So I hope they do well. And I hope some of these young players grow into the situation, and we shall see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Other scores in the Premier League: Man City beat Burnley 3-0. Arsenal 2-1 is Nottingham Forest. I don't know. That scoreline is a little questionable. A little tight there.
I love Nottingham Forest when they play Arsenal. I love everyone.
Matt
when
Turner,
they play
great performance, actually.
Oh, that's right. That was his first game for Forest, right?
Yeah, first game match.
Did he play
he had
well?
A couple saves.
I didn't see it.
He gave in two goals, but he had a good couple good saves. Bournemouth drew West Ham 1-1. Interesting scoreline. Brighton beat Luton, the new promoted Luton, 4-1. Everton lose against Fulham. I predict Everton to get relegated. I'm not sure if you have that in your predictions.
Everyone was picking Everton to go down. They didn't do anything to fix what it was a terrible situation at the end of last year.
They got a player this morning. I forgot his name, but I don't think that'll make much of a difference. Sheffield lose against Crystal Palace 1-0. Newcastle 5-1 beat Aston Villa. Newcastle, Rebecca Lowe from NBC was like saying good things about Newcastle. She thinks they might go to top four. But do you have your top four predictions for the Premier League? Do you have that on top of your head, or you don't want to say it?
Well, I'll say anything. None of it means much. But let me say first that Newcastle was in the top four last year. They're in Correct. The Champions League this year. And for a long time, Eddie Howe, who coached when he coached at Bournemouth, everyone thought he was a really good manager and tactically sound, and did a lot with not much talent. And that was his rep. And the question was, when he goes to Newcastle, will his situation be any different? Well, all of a sudden, the Saudis buy the club. And they've got lots of money, but let's be fair to the Saudis. They have not gone out and bought a million expensive players like Chelsea did. It's not been that way at all. Eddie Howe has turned that side into a world beater. They destroyed Villa. They just killed them. And Villa is good this year. Villa is one of those teams that a lot of people have picked for top seven or eight and up. They've reloaded themselves. So I'm hugely impressed with Newcastle. I'll put them in my top four. I got City and Newcastle as definite top fours because I think Newcastle puts out every game, regardless of the opponent, and that will always stand you in good stead. I think Liverpool will be up there, and then I think it'll be a dogfight between Arsenal and Man U and hopefully Tottenham for those last groups. But I think Liverpool is also improved, so I have them. Newcastle, Liverpool, and Man City for sure, and then Arsenal, Tottenham, and Chelsea, and Man United battling for the bottom, the fourth spot. So that's a pretty good race.
That's a pretty good race. Pretty fair. My Liverpool drew against Chelsea 1-1. There was a goal by Luis Diaz, and then Chelsea scored towards, I think, the second half or end of the first half. So this is my top four that I gave last week when I did a show with Asa. I had Arsenal winning, two Man City, three Man United, four Liverpool. And for relegation, I had Everton, Sheffield United, and Luton. Typically, the newly promoted teams, one or two of them get relegated. I do question now Man United. They didn't look too hot this past Monday when they won 2-1. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about these top four? My top four.
Well, you know, I'm staking my claim out. I think Man City by a mile. I think Newcastle because they're just super well coached. And I think Liverpool has essentially reloaded and made a very good team for themselves. But look what happened with Liverpool and Chelsea. They get 1 point from that match. If Arsenal goes in and beats Chelsea, then Liverpool is down 2 points on that exchange. So that's going to happen over and over again. If you can't beat the good teams, you're not going to make up for it by beating up on Bournemouth. You have to beat the good teams. And I think it's going to be hard for Liverpool, Man United, Tottenham, Villa, Chelsea to really get anything going against these second tier teams, you know, Manchester City being a tier of one. So we'll see. The other bottom three above it, I guess it was Asa's. I think Villa's gonna be good.
Let me look at Asa. Asa had Aston Villa getting relegated, Everton and Luton, and his top four was Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, and then Tottenham. He has your Tottenham at top four.
Well, God bless him. That makes sense.
He's Aston a Tottenham Villa. Fan. I forgot to tell you.
Aston Villa is way better than that. They had a terrible opener against a very good team at home, so I wouldn't judge them on that. It's hard to know and how this will all play out, but I'm not wringing my hands that Harry Kane is gone. I think Tottenham will be just fine, and I like what this new guy is doing, and I like 110 euros to go spend on maybe another striker to bring in from someplace clever. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's always fun. The Premiership is tremendous theater, game in and game out. So I'm very happy to be back on board. The question now, Santi, is whether you drop, you know, $5 a month on Peacock.
I think you have to. Because they're going to push Peacock every month. You know, any big match, like opening weekend, most of the matches were on Peacock, Hal.
Well, I think that's true. But part of the reason is that I watched a lot of golf this weekend, and the women's open was what was on USA all Saturday morning and all Sunday morning. I think I've actually been surprised that NBC hasn't leveraged that situation more critically. I thought that like you suggest, when push comes to shove, they're going to put everything on Peacock, but no, they've actually shown a lot of pregames, and I love them for it.
Yeah. And like any of the matches that are shown in your local NBC, it's automatically on Peacock. So that you for sure, you know, like the only one match out that it will probably be on USA is the first morning match on Saturday. Typically it's on USA. There's no way around it.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it. I've been surprised by how many games they show on USA every Saturday and Sunday morning. Regardless, and we're in what, year three or four of the Peacock revolution?
I think so. Last season,
put everything behind the paywall.
Yeah, last season they had 44% of the matches on Peacock. That I do know that stat.
So good stat. That's a very good stat, Santi.
Yeah. So I think it's still cheap Peacock compared to Disney Plus or ESPN. They're like 10, 11 bucks, 12. But we just got to enjoy this low prices for now, because I know it's going to go up eventually.
I don't know. Part of me, we've talked about it briefly on both Peacock and Apple TV. I find their sort of highlight offerings extremely woeful, clunky, technically, but also, difficult to find, and they continue to always flash the score of the games that they're showing highlights of, which if you're like me, and maybe I'm on my own here, I am 50% of me, my interest in watching highlights is reduced by at least 50%. If I know who won the game, I don't want to know. If I shield myself to watch the highlights of a Tottenham match, I don't want to know how they did. I want to watch the highlights, especially if they're extended highlights. Don't make me go to YouTube to watch all this stuff, because I believe YouTube allows me to turn that off. But, you know, it's catch as catch can with those, and they're pirating them, and I don't know where they get them. But I don't know. It's
from Sky Sports.
Yeah, maybe. The you know, I do have the Apple TV MLS package. I got at the halfway point, right when Messi got signed, I did splurge and spent my $39 for the rest of the year. And I already feel like I've gotten my money's worth out of that. But, and the league's cup wrap up show has been good. If you miss out when there were tons of games being played, that was useful to wake up in the morning and flip that on and catch up and see who won and see all the goals. But again, when I go to the games, I'm not given the option to watch highlights of a game that's already been played. I can either go and rewatch it. I can rewatch it, but that's it. And they've already told me who won. Why would I want to rewatch a game that I know the result from? I mean, if I was really a fan of Nashville, I would do that, but not if I knew who won. I would go to YouTube and go get the highlights off the internet. I mean, I just don't understand the modus operandi there. It makes no sense to me at all.
Did you ever watch BN Sport?
Oh, a little bit. A buddy of mine had it on his package, his cable package, but not dedicatedly. Why?
They had, after the match was live and everything, they would put the whole match in 30 minutes as like a recap. And they put like the best plays and the goals. Right. And I think they had it right. Obviously 30 minutes might be a lot for some people, but I think, hey, if you want to put a whole match into 30 minutes,
right,
that's not a bad, you know, format.
Well, I've written about this and people can look at it in my blog at genzero.halphillips.net. But all of this stems from Match of the Day, you know, the British television show that I think has been going since 1964 that really pioneered the idea of showing all of these highlights over the course of, you know, an hour and a half. And, you know, at that time, not many games were on television, live television. In fact, that was the case until quite recently. BBC had a monopoly on that, and they kept it to a minimum, but they always had Match of the Day, so you could tune in and see extended highlights of all of the games that were played, and people loved it. Now, I know why NBC doesn't do that with its EPL coverage, because if they chop it up into little bits, then they can sell advertising. You know, every time you call up a single game highlights, they can sell you some soap. I get it. That's fine. But don't tell me who won the game. Please, for the love of God, why do they do that? It's terrible. It's terrible.
I know what you mean. Hopefully they're hopefully like to listen to us eventually. Anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
No, I think I've talked myself out, Tony.
No, this is great. let's start off with Spain versus England. Who do you got for the FIFA World Cup final and become the champion of the world?
I like England 3-1. As good as Spain has played, their center backs aren't great. And I think that they will be run through a little bit. England is direct enough that they will give them real trouble. And I think they're perfectly happy to let Spain pass the ball around too, because they themselves are very, very confident in their defensive capabilities and shape. So yeah, I like England, and it'll be a massive celebration.
Massive. They came home because they won the Euros 2 years ago, I believe. Right?
They did.
Yep. Okay. Hey, this is, you know, should not be surprising if they win this.
And that was really seen as a watershed moment for women's soccer in Europe. Everyone was just amazed at the ratings that they pulled on TV, the stadiums that they packed in England, you know, mostly Southern England, where they held the tournament, not the big ass stadiums. They didn't hold them at Tottenham and Stamford Bridge and Emirates, but they did fill Brentford Stadium, and, you know, they got 30,000, 40,000 people to all those games. They were amazed. And it just shows you how far the European game has come, not just from a skill standpoint, but from a public acceptance standpoint. People seem to care.
Yeah. Man United at Tottenham this Saturday.
Well, obviously I want Tottenham to win, but I'd be very happy with a 2-2 draw there too.
Yeah. Another 2-2 draw. It looks like a draw to me as well. Yeah. Newcastle at Man City. This could be closer than we think.
Oh, that's a fascinating game. Is that going to be on NBC or?
Yep, at 3 p.m.
3 p.m. Eastern. What day? Saturday or?
Saturday.
3 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
How odd. Anyway, I'll be watching that game because I really would like to see how Newcastle stacks up against them. But I believe Man City will whoop them 4-1.
4-2-1. I'll put that down. Man City, right?
In Manchester, right?
In Manchester, yeah.
Yeah, that's my prediction. I'm hoping again for a better game.
Chelsea at West Ham.
Chelsea at West Ham. Oh, I hate Chelsea. I'm going to pick West Ham. 3-0.
You know, this Chelsea squad, this team, when they play Liverpool, they look different. They look a bit more confident than last season. So I am not a Chelsea fan, but I think they're going to have a different vibe from them this year. Not with Pochettino. They got Moises Caicedo. And they got Romeo Lavia from Southampton. Right. What do you think about this blue squad? Do you think it's going to be a force to be reckoned with? Or
I have no idea. Is the short answer, and I would defy anyone to have an idea, because who can say? That's a completely new raft of players. They got brought in so many and got rid of so many in the last 18 months. It's really hard to know. But I will say this. I've watched Pochettino up close for a long time. The longer that season goes, the better they will get.
I agree. And finally, the match of the weekend, Miami versus Nashville for the Leeds Cup Championship Cup. Hal, who you got?
I'm gonna pick Nashville. I'm gonna pick Nashville 2-1. They're playing at home.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you.
Well, look, they can't win every game. Jordi Alba is not, you know, is not a world-class outside back anymore. Busquets.
Who scored yesterday.
He did. I could have scored that goal. He was set in all by himself. True. He made a great run. But look, they can't win every game, and they're going to be playing another away game in front of a hostile crowd. And, you know, what happens if Messi, you know, hurts himself or gets annoyed because he's being fouled a million times, which I think they will do. They tried to foul him. But then they realized that even if you're fouling Messi all the time, you're still not marking people in the rest of the midfield. And they eventually stopped. But I'm pitching Nashville. I'm impressed with them as a team. And I think they're very high on their own juice at this point, having beaten Monterey. And somebody has to beat this team. Miami is not going to go unbeaten for the rest of the season. And this is probably where it happens.
Yep, it's going to be hard to beat the Invincibles like Arsenal back in 2004-05. Random question of the day, Hal. What is your favorite type of joke? Options are observational, anecdotal, situational, or character.
Wow. I don't know what any of those mean. I'll go with observational.
Observation is a good pick. That's my favorite. They're typically the funniest, in my opinion.
Okay.
You can vote that on our X account, the Sportscast One. Hal, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you, hey, does Spain have a chance this weekend?
I tweet on from at Mandarin Hal, and I blog on soccer matters at genzero.halphillips.net, where you can read all my soccer writing and have a look at some excerpts from my book, Generation Zero. I think those are the two best ways.
Absolutely. Hal is the man with U.S. history, U.S. soccer history, and we'll see what happens with the U.S. men's. You know, every, like, AC Milan, Juventus has, like, an American pairing. It's interesting. And also in Germany as well. So we'll see if those pairings come along. Tyler Adams. Still, I think he's still at Leeds, but looking for a new club. Hopefully, I know Chelsea didn't come through with him, so hopefully he'll get a new club before the transfer window is closed.
I read something. Maybe it's just rumor, but I thought is he in fact going to Bournemouth?
I haven't heard. Wait, I think I did hear that rumor last week.
I saw some pairing of that information, or the pairing of Bournemouth with Tyler Adams. But, you know, until it's done, it's just hearsay. But that would not be a terrible place for him to be. He'll play, and that's what he needs to do. I'm not sure that Chelsea, we talked about it. It's a great club. It's a prestigious club. But are you going to play? That's what you got to be able to do.
It's too crowded, Hal. Way too crowded.
Way too crowded.
Anyways. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or the Sportscast One on X and Instagram. We'll be heading into college football season soon. NFL coming up. lot going on. Hal, I love talking soccer, world football with you. It's always a pleasure.
Likewise, Santi. It's always really fun. Can't wait for the next time.
And this was your update.